Blog Talk Radio.
Because we're talking about God, the creator of everything. He created me. He created you. He created us all. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for creating me. Thank you, Lord, for being the potter and allowing me to be your clay. You formed me in my mother's womb. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We all know we go through trials. We go through tribulations. We go through things in life. But that does not mean that God is not with us. That does not mean that he does not care about us. That does not mean that he is not in charge. God is in charge of everything. And when we remember that, our lives go a whole lot better. But when we think we can outmaneuver, outplan, and do more than what God can do, we mess up every time. Believe me, queen of mess ups. But I'm grateful that God is a forgiving God and that he loves me even in my crazy mess. So I can say thank you, Lord, because I am his and he is mine and he loves me. Wow. To know that somebody loves you without condition is some pretty awesome things to think about. And this morning, we're going to talk about a man. And his name was Job. And he went through some stuff. He went through a whole lot of stuff. But understand, he knew, even in his bad, because he had had a whole lot of good. Job had been one of the wealthiest men of his time. He had all kind of stuff, children and 10 kids and big family, all kind of, as they say, he had cattle on 1,000 hills kind of thing. Job had it all. But God allowed Job to be tested. His wife didn't quite pass the test. Well, she said, just curse God and die. But Job never gave up. You know, even when he had those quote-unquote friends that came to give comfort, but all they gave was condemnation and that you should have, you did this and you must have done that, or why are you going through? We all go through. Hardest test come when you least expect. But we got to keep trusting God. We got to know who we belong to. We belong to the Most High. And all we can say is thank you, Lord. So give God a thank you this morning, because God is a potter and we are his clay. And of our 365 days of prayer this morning, you know, God always seems to just make the prayer fit the lesson, as well as Sister Carolyn's word. And the word that God gave us for our 365 days of prayer is unshakable. The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26:3 NASB. Join me in our devotional prayer, and then we will start our lesson this morning. Almighty One, you are the rock that my life is built upon. When storms come, my foundation will not be moved. It can't be washed away. My mind is set on you, the author and perfecter of my faith. You keep me steady through the ups and downs of life, over the hills and through the valleys, as long as I trust in you. Your peace is my portion. I don't have to go searching for stillness because it is readily accessible. And now, thank you, Lord, for your love that is unwavering in its intensity. You keep me insulated in the affections of your heart. I will keep my mind fixed on you, resolute to the very end. Thank you for your grace that fills in every crack in my armor. You turn my deficits into stores of your goodness. I can't stop marveling at your wonderful ways. Where does your trust lie is the question to think about today. Are you trusting in God, the potter, as we are his clay? Heavenly Father God, we lift up this mighty word this morning, asking you as always, Lord God, increase as we decrease, Father. Father God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. In Jesus' name, I lift up this mighty word, Lord God, asking that it touch someone's heart, someone's mind, someone's spirit. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Hallelujah. Thanking God this morning for this great word. Thanking God for my sister in Christ and her family, who I have spent time with this week, and all I can say is it's been good. Hallelujah. My house is prayed up. Hallelujah. My family's prayed up. My sister and her family's prayed up. We are prayed up. And I can just do a shout out, and I know that it's kind of, what I want to say, it's just me feeling good. Was at choir rehearsal last night, and choir director likes to call it, a fresh wind blew in our place. It blew into the sanctuary, and the Holy Spirit was like fire. Oh, it was like a Pentecostal moment. Folks started speaking in tongues in the choir. There was tears. There was prayers. There was a hallelujah shout. And all I can say is shout out to Anointed Voices of Praise at Table of Life Ministries. The Lord showed up and showed out on last night. Thanking all of you for just being awesome and mighty. For God used you, Brother Al Mason. When you started the prayer, it just took off like fire. So we thought we was over with our choir rehearsal, and we were there for probably another 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many minutes, just praising God with prayer and song. And just, it was a move. So understand, when God is the potter and we are the clay, he is in charge of everything. And his Holy Spirit rains down on the just and the unjust, on the good, on the bad, on the honorable and on the dishonorable. But we know that he is still in charge. Hallelujah. Why? Because he created us. Let's get into that word. Join me in Job chapter 9 and 10. 93rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 to 23. Romans chapter 9, and chapter 9, verses 16 through 33. Again, Job 9 and 10. 93rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 22 through 23, and Romans chapter 9, verses 16 through 33. And let's get started in Bible study this morning. In the Word of God. Then Job answered and said, "Surely I know it is so, but how can a man be righteous before God? If one wished to contend with him, he could not answer him one time out of a thousand. God is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against him and prospered. He removes the mountains, and they do not know, when he turns them in his anger. He shakes the earth out of its place, and its pillars tremble. He commands the sun, and it does not rise. He seals off the stars. He alone spreads out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. He made the bear Orion and Palisade and the chambers of the south. He does great things past finding out, yes, wonders without number. If he goes by me, I do not see him. If he moves past, I do not perceive him. If he takes away, who can hinder him? Who can say to him, what are you doing? God will not withdraw his anger. The allies of the proud lie prostrate before him. How then can I answer him and choose my words to reason with him? But though I were righteous, I could not answer him. I would beg mercy of my judge. I would not believe that he was listening to my voice. But he crushes me with tempest and multiplies my wounds without cause. He will not allow me to catch my breath, but fills me with bitterness. If it is a matter of strength, indeed, he is strong. And if of justice, who will appoint my day in court? Though I were righteous, my own mouth would condemn me. Though I were blameless, it would prove me perverse. I am blameless, yet I do not know myself. I despise my life. It is all one thing. Therefore, I say, he destroys the blameless and the wicked. The scourge is slain suddenly. He laughs at the plight of the innocent. The earth is given into the hand of the wicked. He covers the face of its judges. If it is not he, who else could it be? Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey. If I say I will forget my complaint, I will put off my sad face and wear a smile, my suffering. I know that you will not hold me innocent. If I am condemned, why then do I labor in vain? If I wash myself with snow water and cleanse my hands with soap, yet you will plunge me into the pit and my own clothes will abhor me. But he is not a man as I am, that I may answer him and that we should go to court together. Nor is there any mediator between us. Who may lay his hand on us both? Let him take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me." Job is going through. We all have had our moments where we have called out to God and felt like he was not always listening. He is always there. He loves you. Never forget that. Yes, you will go through. Why? Because we're human and we have our own will. And we are the ones that make the mistakes, and he allows us to just do it. But we have got to understand that when we just do it, we may be making some mistakes. And when we make those mistakes, we got to deal with them. But God is always there to listen. And if it's a mistake that you make and you repent and you ask forgiveness and say, Lord, you lead, you guide, you show me the way. I can say this without any doubt in my mind. He will make a way out of no way. He will guide and lead you in the path of righteousness and in the way you should go. And then as we finish up chapter 9, it says, then I would speak and not fear him, but it is not so with me. Job was going through, you think about this, how would you feel covered from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet with boils? Think about pussy, nasty boils. And he said with worms crawling out of them. Yeah, gross. Walking past you like you are nothing but dirt because you're covered in ashes. Sitting in the ash, scraping your skin because you can't. You can't help but itch and feel horrible. Going through. Because Job was going through. How would you feel if you were going through what he was going through? How would you feel covered in boils and worms and just gross and smelly and nasty? And your friends talking about you like you're a junkyard dog, telling you you must have done something wrong. It's all you, Job. It's all you. He is in responding. This chapter is him in response to Belladad, who just basically told him, you a sinner and you getting what you deserve. And that's a paraphrase from chapter 8. But as we go into chapter 10, it says, my soul loathes my life. I would give free course to my complaints. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, show me why you contend with me. Does it seem good to you that you should oppress, that you should despise the work of your hands and smile on the counsel of the wicked? Do you have eyes of flesh, or do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man, that you should seek for my iniquity and search out my sin? Although you know that I am not wicked, and there is no one who can deliver from your hand. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray that you have made me like clay. You turn me into dust again. Did you not pour me out like milk and curdle me like cheese, clothe me with skin and flesh and knit me together with bones and joints? You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. And these things you have hidden in your heart, I know that this was, and you mark me and will not acquit me of my iniquity. If I am wicked, woe to me. Even if I am righteous, I cannot lift up my head. I am full of disgrace. See my misery. If my head is exalted, you hunt me like a fierce lion. And again, you show yourself awesome against me. You renew your witnesses against me and increase your indignation toward me. Changes and war are ever with me. Why then have you brought me out of the womb, or that I had perished and no eye had seen me? I would have been as though I had not been. I would have been carried from the womb to the grave, and not my days few. Cease, leave me alone, that I may take a little comfort before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Job was going through. But we know that God is a potter and we are his clay. Let's go into some life lessons from Job chapter 9 and 10. For those that are just joining, moving forward, this is Bible study. We read the Bible. God gives me a word sometimes, and sometimes he just says read. But I am coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible. And I will just say, God rest Dr. Stanley's soul. This Bible is the best study Bible I have ever had. And I share, this is my time that I normally spend with God when I'm by myself, me and God spending time together. And when I started this moving forward, it was God saying, share your Bible study time with your audience. Because I did another show, and it was a talk show. I had people call in, and we chatted, and we talked the word, and it was great. But God flipped the script because my assignment 2 years ago, well, 3 years ago, was to read the Bible in its entirety, from Genesis to Revelation. And the first Bible that God gave me was a chronological Bible. And we read the whole entire Bible chronologically. And it was difficult. I will not say that it wasn't, because it was all over the place. It was not nice and tidy and orderly like what we have and that we read in church and that we read on this show. It was everywhere because it was chronological. The Bible that we read is not chronological. There are things that happen that we may have in Job, but what this may have happened way before Samuel, or this may have happened not too far after the Exodus. We don't know it because it's not chronological. And they just take and put it all together. Whereas in a chronological Bible, it's everything. So you will have Mark, Luke, and John, not necessarily in the order it's in. You may have the same story from the three different perspectives or four different perspectives. So we've done it a lot of different ways, but this Bible has been my go-to, and God has given me an opportunity to read it again next year, his will, because nobody is promised tomorrow. But I thank God for today. And as we go back into our life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley, it says this in Job 9 and 33, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on both, on us both. And we say, thank you, Jesus, the mediator between us and God, that he calls, he goes before God with our case every day. He protects us from the wiles of the little sneaky snake we call the devil. He is always there for us and with us. So all we can say is, thank you, Jesus. It says, Job recognized that while he had earned a reputation as a blameless man, yet as a sinner, he lacked all righteousness before his holy God. Job needed what we have, a sympathetic mediator between a holy God and a sinful people. Here's the good news, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Can you say hallelujah? Whew, 1 Timothy 2 and 5, we stand as righteous only when by faith we stand in the righteousness of Christ. And we are blessed beyond measure because we have Jesus. And as we go back into the life lesson, chapter 10, verse 12, you have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. In the middle of their bitter complaints, those with the genuine heart of God continue to hope in his grace and remember his many blessings. God sustains them even when it feels as though he attacks them. We are blessed. Job chapter 10, 20. Leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. When we feel most discouraged and worn out, we may wish that God would just leave us alone. But thank God, he never does. He promises us, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13 and 5. And it's also in the book of Joshua chapter 1. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. God has never left us. He didn't leave Moses, and he won't leave us. Can we say thank you, Lord? 93rd Psalm, verses 1 through 5. The Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. And as we look at a life lesson, the Lord reigns. He is clothed with majesty. He has girded himself with strength. We are children of a sovereign God who has the power and the wisdom to make happen everything he desires to do. Nothing can frustrate his plans. No one can derail his promises. That's why we can trust him. And yes, we go through. Yes, we may lose faith. But understand, God gave us Jesus, who is there with us, who is there to comfort you when you're going through, who is there to lift you up, not tear you down, who is there to give you hope in a future and not worry about what's going to happen. God provides when we trust. God gives us what we need. If we need to stay awake while we drive, he gives it to us. If we need sustenance, he gives it to us. Whatever we need, God provides. All we have to do is trust him. If you trust in God, you know that it's going to work out the way you need it to. Just trust him. And then I love this word. It says, do not rob the poor, because he is poor, nor oppress the afflicted at the gate. For the Lord will plead their cause and plunder the soul of those who plunder them. Proverbs 22:22-23. Remember again, God is the potter, and we are his clay. We belong to him, and he belongs to us. We are his clay. Are you trusting God today? Are you believing that he can make a way out of no way? That he will give you the desire of your heart? Trusting God is what we do and what we need to do always. Love him, trust him, and know that he is with you. Loving God is what we do. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 9, verse 16 through 33. It looks like we will not be an hour today. We will be a very short, I believe, lesson. But we do have quite a bit to go. Life lesson, and we do have a life example this morning. And a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Please continue to keep her in your prayers as she is recuperating. We are thanking God for all of you. Mother Valerie will be back next month. Praise the Lord. God willing, if she don't decide to stay in sunny California enjoying her vacation and sabbatical. So we are just sending out lots of love to Mother Valerie in California, missing her deeply. And as we continue in the book of Romans, please join me in Romans chapter 9, starting at verse 16. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. But the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? But who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, Who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor. What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? Wow. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he calls not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people. Catch that. You'll understand it. And have beloved who was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, shall be called sons of the living God. We are grafted in, thanking God that we are part of his vineyard and that he molded and shaped us. Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, the remnant will be saved, but he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And as Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabbath had left us a seed, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah. And we know what happened to Sodom, and we know what happened to Gomorrah. Can you say, bam, they gone. They gone. Immorality, inhospitality, just vicious and evil. Why? Because they lost their way. And we don't want to lose our way with God. What shall we say then? Verse number 30 of chapter 9 of Romans. That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness pursuing the law of righteousness has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, as it were, by the works of the law. But they, at that stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. We've got to keep trusting God that it's going to work out whatever your stumbling block is. You got to ask God, show me, Lord, what must I do to get my house in order? We got to get our houses in order. We got to ask God, how do we do what we need to do? Only he can show us, and only he can tell us. Are you trusting God this morning? Are you believing that he is the potter and you are his clay? That he is molding you and shaping you into the way that you need to go? Keep trusting him, because I tell you, he is God, and he loves us more than words can say. Watch him work. Watch him work in your family. Watch him work in your life. Watch him work. Just know, this is only the beginning, that your season is coming. Your season of Jubilee is coming. I don't know who that word is for, but just keep believing and trusting God. I tell you, he is working miracles already. God is working miracles in our bodies. God is working miracles in our finances. God is working miracles in our life. All we got to do is believe and trust him, and know that he has our best interest at heart. And as we go back to chapter 9, I'll have a life lesson for you. And this is from Dr. Stanley in Romans 9 and 18. Whom he wills, he hardens. Because, you know, we have met people that just are hateful to the core. And you're like, I have done everything in my power to be a good wife, to be a good husband, to be the best I can be in everything that I'm doing, to be the best employee. You know, I do whatever my supervisor tells me to do, but she just don't like me. What is it about me that bothers her so much? We don't understand that everybody is not going to like us, and that everybody that looks good on the outside, you know, I'm just going to call it, there are us girls who are looking at the outside and see that answer, ooh, you get so fine. And then we allow ourselves to fall into the trap of doing things we shouldn't do outside of marriage. And the next thing you know, you're married to a beast. Beating you Sunday, going 50 down, 55 to Memphis, back through all the way up Route 66 from Illinois to California. And you're like, but he was so nice. But you didn't know him. And I tell young women all the time, be careful. Don't fall into bed with every Tom, Dick, and Harry thinking that he's your Boaz. Because a Boaz is not going to have you doing what is not of God. I don't know, ladies, who this is for, but I tell you, you are bigger, better, and more wonderfully made than that. And men, if somebody is trying to entice you into bed, run. Run like you have never run before. Run like Joseph from Potiphar's wife. Because you don't know what kind of mess you're about to fall into. The Proverbs tells us, tell your sons, don't go. Don't go to that house. Somebody is pursuing you like that. Run. Run like you are a rabbit running for your life. Because you are about to get into a mess with a contentious woman. You know, we have to be careful who we get involved with. You know, God is giving us pointers. You know, we also understand that God is in charge of everything. And that maybe if you go this way, like I said, I went left when God told me to go right. Now, understand, I lost a car because I went left. When God said, go right, go back the way you came, but I'm thinking I can go this way. You know, listen to that little nasty voice who is the voice of that sneaky snake. Oh, you can go and get a shortcut. Now, understand, going right was a straight shot to where I needed to go. Going left, I had to go around, go up again, and went up again into a storm. And lost a car in a flood, got flooded out. But I still say this, even in your mess, God will send angels, and he will send angels that you least expect. And in that case, I'm in my car. My car is starting, water is coming up to my door because I went through what I thought was nothing. I mean, there was no water, it looked like, but by the time I got ready to go up this little hill, water came out of nowhere, started flooding my car, couldn't move. And these three young people, I've spoken this many a time, came out of nowhere. Not, you know, and they were stereotypes that we as, quote unquote, good people are afraid of, which is a bunch of nonsense. You can't look at the outside of someone and judge them. Oh, my God, they got tattoos. Look, she's got piercing in her nose, and look, oh, my goodness, oh, no. These three, they look, first and foremost to me, they look like giants. They were these three young people, you know, coming out of nowhere. The girl in her little T-shirt and the shorty shorts, you know, blonde hair, you know, just kind of chilling. Then these two young men, tatted up, one had his, you know, but again, remember, it's raining. So he had one leg up on his sweat, and one is in what they call the white beaters, the little T-shirt, you know, white. And, you know, and I'm like, all the stereotypical things that folks think, oh, I got to be afraid of these children. You know, there's these black guys with this white girl. It, oh, my God. You know what? They came to my window, and I felt this peace with these kids that some folks would be afraid of holding their purses. But I felt peace. These three children pushed my car. I know they were angels. Pushed my car up a hill. Then out of nowhere comes a tow truck. And the man that ran the tow truck just happened to own the business that was across the street. And he said, let's tow it over here because it's on the incline and the water will come out. And then call whoever you have to do to tow it tomorrow. You're fine. I own this building. And these kids, I had food in my car, and I gave them all the food I had in my car because I was just so grateful. And then when I turned to talk to the tow truck guy, and I turned back to say thank you again, the three children, and I'm talking, they were like young adults, teenage young adults, had disappeared. They disappeared. And I know they didn't have time to walk from where I was to the apartment buildings behind. They disappeared. God will show you yourself. He will show you your prejudice. He will show you your bigotry. He will show you who you are when you least expect. And as we go, whom he will to your heart, we know that God wants us all to come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. How is it then that God hardens people's hearts? Understand that Pharaoh had five opportunities during the first five plagues to repent. Yet we see repeatedly that Pharaoh hardened his heart. The book of Exodus chapter 8. And it says, it was not until the sixth plague that God gave Pharaoh over to his sinfulness. Gave him to a reprobated mind. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. 9:12. The Lord is God and he reserves the right to decide. Someone has rejected him. John 3:17. Romans 9:27. The remnant will be saved. The idea of the remnant appears throughout Scripture. 2 Kings 19:30, 31, Ezra 9:8, Isaiah 10:20. In his grace, God preserves a small portion of his people, Israel, until the day he rescues them all. I'm waiting for the rescue. Hallelujah. God's coming. Jesus is coming back. But understand, folks, all these folks trying to force God's hand. When God sends Jesus back, he is not that little lamb shepherd. He is not going to the cross to die for your sins. He's already done that and rose again. He's coming back to clean house. He's coming back to tear out the wheat from the tare. He is coming back. And it will not be warm and cozy. It will be war. So be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And I tell you, it's not going to be what you think. And those who think they're going to be in that new city, you might not make it in. So we all need to stop, repent, and say, Lord, forgive me. Jesus, come back in your time. Hallelujah. And I have molded by the maker. Again, when the potter takes the lump of clay, he knows what he wants to do with it. Whether he wants to create a beautiful box, bowl, or pitcher, he already knows what it's going to become. Therefore, he takes the lump of clay, puts it on the potter wheel, and begins to shape it. However, the only way the potter can form this piece of clay into something beautiful is by getting it in the center of the wheel. I learned that one day, and this is Dr. Stanley talking, and I can say I'm just going to let Dr. Stanley talk, but I'm going to tell you, you know, I made this cup. You know, I went to, you know, a little pottering class, and if you do not get your clay into the middle of the wheel, it kind of falls over, and it looks a mess. So you have to kind of mold it a little bit, but you got to keep it in the center. And as you shape it into whatever you want to do, I was making a cup, And, you know, it's like you got to work it just right, because if you don't, you're going to have a clumpy mess. And so it says this, it says one of the reasons God is not able to make us into a people he wants us to be is that we rebel against him. We insist on doing things our way and get out of this. And we call it on this show being in our square. Our square is the light that God has placed us in, that center of light that we call salvation. And so we want to stay in our square, just like God wants us to stay in the center of his potter's wheel. And in Romans 9:20-21 warns, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay? What it all comes down to is this one question. Do you or don't you believe that God knows what is best for your life? God is daily molding us through our circumstances, and we need to trust him. Our faith in him is absolutely crucial. Therefore, here are six words to describe our master potter that will help us when our faith falters. Number one, you want to get that piece of paper, power. The truth is that God has power in our life because he is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do anything he chooses to do. However, God gave us a will of because he wants us to love him freely. Now, there is no such thing as absolutely free will because God is in ultimate control over all things. He allows our free will up to a certain point. However, the master potter has the ultimate power over the clay. Number two, purpose. God has a specific purpose in mind for each of us, and he created us with qualities that will fulfill that purpose. Number three, plan. God has a plan. His plan is to mold us and work daily to conform us to the likeness of his son, Jesus Christ, throughout our life. What's the song? Take my will. Now take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours. Holiness is what I long for. Hallelujah. We sang that last night. Number four, patience. God never hurries. That's because spiritual maturity is not something that can be rushed. It continues on even when we are older. We cannot rush him because becoming like Jesus Christ involves a lifetime process of learning the ways of God. Spirit, number five, we must remember something extremely important here. When the potter finds imperfections in the clay, he puts it back on the wheel and reshapes it. He never throws it away. God does not discard us. He will remake us. If we have an addiction, God will kill us from it through Jesus Christ and remake us. Can we say thank you, Lord? When we're going through, God will remake us into something bigger, something better. He will call you out of your darkness and put you into his marvelous light. He will take you as you are messing up, as you're broken. He can take you, reform you, and make you. What a mighty God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. We must remember something extremely important here. When the potter finds imperfection in the clay, he puts it back on the wheel and reshapes it. He never throws it away. God does not discard us. God never discards us. He will never throw us away. The all-powerful, loving hand of God, our Father, has the power to overcome obstacle in our life. God can make us into something extraordinary. All I can say is thank you, Lord. Number six, personal. God does not put all people in one big lump. He forms each one of us individually. He can do that because he is infinite in power, wisdom, and love. He knows exactly what he has planned for each one of us. Therefore, trust the master, trust the one who is powerful, who has a purpose and a plan for you, who is patient with you and perseveres with you, who loves you deeply and personally as he molds you. Learn from him. Cling to him. He is molding you. He is molding me into the most wonderful vessel for his work in creating a future for all of us that is better than what we could ever imagine. You're a masterpiece. We are masterpieces. And we're happening. We happen. It happens when we give ourselves away to the Lord and say, use me. Use me, Lord, for your good. For you have blessed me beyond measure to have breath in my body. Thank God today for your life, for your hope, for his grace. But he is the potter, and we are the clay. And again, power, purpose, plan, patience, perseverance, personal. Six P's, motion. God has the power. God has a purpose for your life. God has planned you and knitted you in your mother's womb. God has patience when you step out of this, of his marvelous life, or as you say, step out of your square. God will bring you back in because he has perseverance and he loves you. And God has made it personal by sending his son to heal us, sending his son to take our sins that we may have the right to eternal life as he rose from the dead and took the keys from Satan. We are special because we belong to the Most High. He created us in his image. And we are wonderfully made. Thank God this morning. Thank God that you are loved. Thank God that you are special. Thank God that he is absolute. And I have a couple of words for us for today. And each one just seems to work right where we need them to work. And the one for this morning is this. Well, this I'm going to give you Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of Sister Carolyn's word for this week. And Monday's word, when stepping out in faith, you will be amazed at the results. It's never too late for a new beginning with God. Have a motivated Monday. On yesterday, good morning. When you are starting to feel defeated, you push. And we use push a lot on this show. We pray until something happens. Prayer changes things. Have a talk to God Tuesday. Have a little talk with Jesus. And on our word for this morning, good morning, God will give you his strength in your struggles. Have a wonderful Wednesday, family, as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put it. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Be motivated and push. Have some time where you talk with God. Spend a little time with Jesus. Tell him all about your troubles and watch God work in your life. And again, God will give you his strength in your struggles. Know that you are never struggling alone. For God is the potter, and we are his clay. And that is our word for this morning. We have a couple of minutes left. If there's anybody who would like to call in and say, hey, great word, or just thank you. Thank God. If you got a testimony, call 213-943-3597. If not, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of the honor, of the power, of the glory. And all I can say is thank you, Father. and thank all of you this morning for listening in. And as we wrap it up, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours that you have a blessed and wonderful day. Those that are traveling the highways and byways, I pray the Lord's grace and mercy over you that you make your destination. Thank you for listening in. Thank you for praying for me as I was suffering through my bronchitis. I am claiming healing 100% because I got work to do. And so I thank you again. Be blessed. Be whole. And know that you are wonderfully made because God don't make no junk. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.